Good evening and welcome to Millikan University. My name is Jenna Dooley. I'll be moderating tonight's debate between Representative Bob Fleiter and Adam Brown. The format of this evening's debate will take the form of a question and answer order. Each candidate will make an opening and closing statement, and the order was determined earlier this evening by a coin toss, which was won by Adam Brown, who has decided to make his opening statement second. Questions are to be submitted on index cards that are available in the auditorium. We ask that you put your name on the card so we can acknowledge you. And if you would please pass those questions to the end of the aisles. They will be read by representatives of the Political Science Department here at Millikan, David Jervis and Bobby Gentry. They'll read each question. Each candidate will then have 2 minutes to answer. We do ask that candidates please answer to the specific question. Again, a coin toss determined Representative Fleiter will have 10 minutes to make his opening statement.
Okay, good evening, everybody, and thank you, Jenna. And I'd like to thank the faculty and staff and students at Millikan University, in particular, Dave Jervis, chair of the Political Science Department, and also Bobby Gentry, who's also in the Political Science Department, for making this evening possible. You know, an awful lot occurs in an election campaign, and a lot of things are said, and there's a lot of information that's tossed about, but I thought that this would be a pretty good opportunity for me to tell you or remind you a little bit about who is Bob Fleiter and why am I here and why am I running again for the 101st District. I'm joined here in the front row, or second row, I should say, beautiful wife, Jean, who I married in 1978. We met at Mattoon High School, where I graduated, and she and I have raised a great family. We have 3 children. My oldest daughter is here, Kylie. She is a graduate of Eastern, as am I. Thank you for being here, Kylie and Jean. I appreciate it. My son, Luke, is a second lieutenant in the Army. He's at Fort Riley, Kansas. I graduated from Western with a degree in law enforcement. And my youngest daughter, Caitlin, is working her way through college, and very proud of her. We also have a granddaughter, McKenna. She's 2 years old. And so just very proud of my family. And the more I think about it, I think how blessed I am that we've been able to do so well. And undoubtedly, that's because of my wife, Jean, and her efforts. Through the course of my life and my career, I've had a number of life experiences that have brought me to the position of state representative. I graduated with a degree in journalism from Eastern Illinois University. And along the way, as a youngster, I've done a lot of different jobs. I was a coat checker, I was a busboy, I was a dishwasher, I was a janitor, swept floors, cleaned toilets, you named it. Pumped gas, sacked groceries, and of course I was a newspaper reporter. I was a community coordinator and a public affairs manager. And through the course of those experiences, I've been able to gather up, I guess you'd say, a whole life's worth of experiences through my 52 years of age. I'll be 53 tomorrow. And also, in addition to those life's experiences, I chose in 1991 to run for my first office as a trustee for the Village of Mount Zion. And I was mayor there for 8 years after that, where I was able to develop with our trustees a community plan. And that plan was developed. And I think if you drive through Mount Zion, if you go to Mount Zion, most people would agree it's a pretty good community. And a lot of that had to do with my ability to work with people, work together with people in the community to develop not only a plan, but also we can show the results of getting things done there, like building parks, sidewalks, infrastructure improvements, and doing so without raising the tax rate, which I'm very proud of. We did that through economic growth, which is a goal, of course, that the state of Illinois should have, is economic growth through job creation, and that's how we need to resolve our budget woes. Through the course of my career as a state representative, I've introduced and passed a number of different initiatives, among them utility reforms that saved utility customers $1 billion we brought $1 billion in rate relief to the state's utility customers. And also through those reforms, state-regulated utilities have been forced to reduce their wholesale electric costs by hundreds of millions of dollars. And that has saved customers money. My first year as a legislator, I passed legislation that prohibited colleges and universities from giving out student information to sell to credit card companies, so that, you know, these credit card companies were preying on our students, and so this legislation stopped that. And there's a number of different kinds of legislative proposals that I've passed and so on, but I tell you, the kinds of things that a legislator does, and oftentimes it's, you know, you see these TV commercials and you hear the criticisms and the parties point fingers back and forth at each other. And I do pride myself at working with both sides of the aisle, not just my party, but also the other party. It's something I've worked very hard at doing, although it's hard to tell that at election time. But I've prided myself in doing that. And, you know, one of the things that's really important that we do in our office is we serve people. And in addition to going to Springfield and voting on important matters, we serve people. We do things for people that they otherwise might not be able to do themselves without the help of government and their state representative. I was very heartened during the last week. I was walking down the block and knocking on doors, and a couple came running out from their house with their two-year-old child, and they said, "Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you for what you did to help us get this adoption speeded up. We could not get the paperwork done. We could not get through the paperwork. We couldn't get it approved, and with your help, it happened very quickly." And those are the kind of things that a state representative is able to do for people by working with local government officials throughout the state of Illinois and making sure that we can get the job done. Another instance was legislation that I had introduced at the request of a family who was bereaved. A set of grandparents came in with Harvey and Janelle came into my office with to talk about their grandson, Brandon, who had just been gunned down, the innocent victim of a drive-by shooting. And they came with the young man's mother, Tara, and they said, you know, he was just gunned down, he was innocent, he had a bright future, a bright career, and he was just gunned down, he was killed, and we need to do what we can. We're asking you, Bob, to help us in some way make sure that his life was not in vain. And it was a very emotional time for them, certainly for me, but we did end up proposing legislation that passed that strengthens the laws associated with felons being able to, felons selling a firearm, and those who are convicted of crimes being able to be using a stolen firearm in the commission of a crime. And so in some way we were able to make our streets a little bit safer, but I received this letter, and I think it's a testament probably that I'd like to share with you, because this is something I keep in my drawer. And during these times where accusations are made and, you know, you got these campaign charges flying, this is a reminder for me I like to pull out from time to time. It says, "Dear Bob, 2 years ago, we came to your office to ask you to help us. We were in so much pain and I imagine shock too. We came in your office and poured our hearts out and we met with your office manager. She told us that you were in and we could see you. She was kind and understanding. We sat down and waited for you. And as I think back, we were sitting in your office as we were waiting for you. We were all crying, probably out of control. I remember thinking, asking myself why we were at your office, asking myself, what is it that we thought you could do? We came to you looking for hope. And the question is why? It doesn't matter anymore why. You did what you said you would do and not let Brandon's loss be for nothing. Our family thanks you more than we could ever say. You came and got us and told us to come up to your office. We went to your office and explained what had happened to Brandon. And even today, it does not seem real. I asked myself, why Brandon? Why me? Why us? Why my family? We were all so happy before. We all miss Brandon so very much. Brandon was filled with nothing but love. I just want to thank you for hearing us and for being a godly person. You heard our cry. You did not stop until you got something done in Brandon's honor. And we thank you for Brandon Reed's House Bill 1032. The law and for the hard work it took and for you never giving up. It's not very often that you meet a person anymore that cares or do what they say they will do. You did, you never changed, and you never gave up. We thank you, Bob. God bless you and your family forever." And I read that to you because that's what state representatives are about, serving people, doing things for people that they otherwise might not be able to do themselves. I just feel very blessed to be in this position of being able to help people, to pass legislation, do things like passing a law that will ensure that men who have prostate cancer will get the treatment that they deserve, and that they won't be just dismissed after an initial test, that they will be able to get to the next level and ensure that because of an insurance problem or because there's not a funding for their next test, that they will not get the treatment that they need. I'm very hopeful that we will be able to continue to work to create jobs in our area. I was the proud sponsor of legislation that created a Central Illinois Economic Development Authority. And we passed legislation that will provide tax credits. This is at the request of businesses in our area who came to me and said, we need your help, we need your support to make Illinois a more business-friendly state. And we passed that. And I'm very proud to say that I have done the things for my constituents and businesses that they have asked me to do. For example, we know that the state is way behind on paying its bills. And I had a local business owner and I crafted some legislation that I passed out of the House twice. And it's now pending in the Senate. And I'm hopeful that, in fact, I'm going to demand that the Senate take this legislation up during the fall veto session. But it passed out of the House, and what it does is it requires the state to pay its bills on time. In addition to that, but more importantly, it requires that the Bureau of the Budget and the Governor's Office acknowledge these past due bills as part of the next budget cycle so that the state is paying its bills, recognizing, acknowledging these bills, and making sure that these businesses are being considered during the budget-making process. I stated on the House floor during the debate on that bill that this bill could, if the legislature passed this bill, that this could be one of the most single best things that would help businesses in the state of Illinois, just simply if the state paid its bills on time. Right now, there's a lack of accountability. I could tell you I'm very, very disappointed in that, but I want to make Illinois accountable. And I want to do what I can to make sure that our businesses are succeeding, that they're employing people, that Illinois is a business-friendly state, and that we can move forward, reduce our unemployment rate, and specifically in Central Illinois, do the things that we can do to bring jobs here and improve the prosperity of our area. In closing my opening remarks, I just want to say that it has been an honor and a blessing to serve the people of the 101st District. And my hope is to go back to Springfield to continue to work and rectify these problems. But I could tell you, I often get blamed for, you know, when you're in a particular party, you get painted with a broad brush of saying that because that party, the party leaders believe a certain thing, that you must believe that too. But I could tell you that I have fought the party leaders on many occasions, and I have resisted their efforts for me to pass a tax increase. I voted against the governor's tax increase. I sat down in front of his desk in his office, and he said, Bob, I want you to consider voting for this tax increase. And here's all the reasons why. And I said, Governor, I can't do that. I have too many people in my district who are out of work. The economy is suffering. People are suffering. Now is the wrong time. We need to cut waste. We need to cut expenses. Rod Blagojevich, who proposed a gross receipts tax. I was the first Democrat in Central Illinois to oppose that gross receipts tax. I opposed it, and I told him that I thought it was the wrong approach, that it would chase jobs out of Illinois. And he confronted me with his proposal at a public meeting in Mattoon back a couple of years ago, and he said, you know, we need a capital bill, we need a gross receipts tax, and we need health care. We need to expand health care for all. And I said, Governor, I said, I think we need to sit down. I think we need to discuss these things because, quite frankly, we cannot go forward with your plan. There has to be some kind of discussion. I'm not going to just vote on your plan. I don't think it's right. And he unleashed a few words on me that I wouldn't dare say in public at a setting like this. But wasn't too long after that he personally sent a team to my hometown, try and find somebody to run against me in the primary. So those are the kind of things that I will continue to do, regardless of who thinks that I kowtow to the political party, to the Democrat leadership. I will do what's right for Central Illinois. And as often as not, I voted with Republicans. And I will continue to do what I think is right. Vote with Republicans, vote for Democrats, but more importantly, vote with Central Illinois. Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Well, good evening. I'd like to thank First Millikan University for hosting us this evening. Also, I'd like to thank WUIS and other media outlets for covering this debate, and all of you fine folks for coming out this evening as well. These are difficult times for the state of Illinois and our families. The state of Illinois is facing not only a fiscal crisis, but a crisis of leadership. 8 years of one-party rule has not been good for the people of Illinois. We have a $13 billion deficit, $130 billion of debt, and despite that, the Democrats continue to increase spending by an amount of $5 billion over the past 2 years. Illinois has double-digit unemployment and has lost 250,000 jobs in recent years, including 71,000 manufacturing jobs. Yesterday's announcement from Tate and Lyle that they'll be moving 120 jobs from here in Decatur up to Hoffman Estates. This came with a $15 million incentive package from the state of Illinois. Once again, Central Illinois loses, Chicagoland wins. It's time to admit that Springfield is broken. Our leaders have failed us, and we need a clean break from the Blagojevich-Quinn administration. The failed policies of Speaker Madigan and my opponent have caused this state to tumble down the wrong path. I have a plan to get Illinois back on track. As your state representative, I will focus on these five goals. Number one, to cut spending, produce a real balanced budget, and conduct a line-by-line audit. Number two, get Illinois back to work with incentives that reward employers and keep good-paying jobs right here in Illinois. Number three, no tax increase on working families and the elderly. Number four, passing reforms that end pay-to-play corruption right here in Illinois. And lastly, a 10% pay cut for all elected state officials. The creation and retention of good-paying jobs is my top priority. We need to get our economy back on track, and we have to change our business climate here in Illinois so that employers see Illinois is a great place to locate. I have a jobs plan as well. It begins by cutting spending, reducing the budget deficit, and providing economic stability for our employers. Put an end to job-crushing taxes and fees. Over the Blagojevich administration, we saw the exact opposite, 300 new taxes and fees. Also, streamline job creation efforts and reduce barriers to free enterprise. Provide tax incentives that reward employers for creating and keeping good-paying jobs right here in Illinois. Also, we must pass real lawsuit abuse reform and workers' compensation reform to fix Illinois' flawed and expensive system. My opponent, he's voted for doubling the income tax on working families and small business here in Illinois. He's tried to play class warfare with this issue, but the fact remains that many business owners and family men that file as S corporations would pay double in income taxes. Bob Flyter's record with jobs is terrible. You take a look at the Chamber of Commerce rating. Last year, a 42% rating with the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. A failing grade. 2 years ago, 29% rating with the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. You take a look as well at his rating with the National Federation of Independent Business, the voice of small business here in Illinois. Last year, a dismal 29%. 2 years ago, 17%, even worse. I'm proud to say that I am endorsed by the National Federation of Independent Business, the voice of small business here in Illinois. I am also honored to be supported by Congressman Aaron Schock, by Senator Bill Brady, by Senator Frank Watson, and by State Representative Bill Mitchell. Now, you may have seen or heard some nasty things about me in recent weeks. My opponent, 8-year incumbent Bob Flyter, has continued his long history of smear tactics. He's dressed me up in this costume, a Groucho Marx disguise. He's also put my face on a small kid who's riding his bicycle. He did the same thing to Scott Englund and Dick Kane. These personal attacks are absolutely nothing new. He received over $1 million from Mike Madigan to run these negative smear campaigns. And in Scott Englund's race, outspent Scott Englund by a measure of 10 to 1. He ran a TV ad against Scott Englund that morphed Scott Englund into Weird Al Yankovic. In 2006, Flighter ran a TV ad accusing local restaurant owner Dick Kane of shipping jobs to China. Now he's doing the same thing to me. Bob Flighter can't run on his own record because it's terrible. On his watch, Illinois has a $13 billion deficit, $130 billion of long-term debt, and has lost 250,000 jobs. Bob Flighter doesn't want to talk about these facts and the real issues that affect Central Illinois. He just keeps attacking the messenger. So what is the basis for Flighter's negative campaigning? He says, I'm taking money from corporations that are sending jobs overseas and accepting contributions from political allies of insurance companies that deny health care. Never mind the fact that I haven't received any campaign contributions from big insurance companies, and very little money from corporations as a whole. On the other hand, Bob Flighter here, he's taken thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from these big insurance companies, Health Alliance, Humana, and Unicare. These HMOs, he claims, are denying sick people health care. At least that's the attacks that he's put on myself. I guess the same standard does not apply to Representative Flighter. Also, Bob Flighter has taken over $100,000 from these big corporations that send jobs overseas. Now, I haven't made these ridiculous charges against Representative Flighter because they truly are absurd. But if you go by Bob's logic, he's the one sending jobs over to China and Mexico. The worst smear of all comes when Bob Flighter tries to tie me to former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Bob and his Chicago bosses came up with some convoluted scheme where a single contribution from one road builder here in Illinois means that I'm part of the Blagojevich scandal. Never mind that the donor in question also has donated to Bob in the past. Bob, I ask, do you have no shame? Do you actually think that the voters believe your lie, that I'm part of the Blagojevich scandal? In reality, I'm a farmer. I'm a fifth-generation family farmer from right here in Decatur. I'm a Decatur city councilman, and I'm a Republican that has voted against Rod Blagojevich. Ladies and gentlemen, one candidate on this stage tonight has supported Rod Blagojevich. Bob Flighter was appointed to the House after his predecessor left to become Blagojevich's deputy chief of staff. Bob Flighter, he backed Blagojevich for governor twice. In fact, from one Herald and Review quote in 2006, and I'm quoting this directly, Flighter said he would not tell voters to abandon Blagojevich on Election Day, end quote. Bob Flighter supported Blagojevich's failed policies in Springfield. Flighter voted with Rod for more taxes, more spending, and more borrowing. And Flighter voted for Blagojevich's All Kids program, which provides health insurance to illegal immigrants at a cost to us of $55 million a year. Here's another quote from 2006 Herald and Review. Flighter has consistently voted the way of Governor Rod Blagojevich and the Democrats, so he can't walk away from the state's debt problems or the delay in pension payments. End quote. I believe Bob Flighter has some nerve accusing me of taking campaign contributions from somebody associated with Blagojevich at the same time that Bob Flighter himself has received $7,500 from Rod Blagojevich directly. And you've taken over $1 million from Mike Madigan and his Chicago bosses. So I think it's quite clear right here which one of us was part of the Blagojevich regime over in Springfield. At best, Bob Flighter's a hypocrite. At worst, he's an outright liar. Either way, voters are sick and tired of these political games. Bob can't run on his own record of failure over in Springfield, so he continues to lie about me. I've run a fact-based campaign on the issues. I'm talking about the need to create jobs, to cut wasteful spending, and balance our budget. And I pointed out the facts behind my opponent's 8-year record of failure. I'll end my opening remarks with this simple question. If you truly want change in Springfield, you must change who you send over to Springfield. I thank you all very much for coming out this evening, and I hope I can earn your vote on November 2nd.
A reminder that both candidates will also have an opportunity to make a closing statement at the conclusion of the debate. We're now going to go into the question and answer session. If you do want to fill out a question, find an index card at the aisle and then turn it into the usher. Again, please put your name on that so we can acknowledge you. We're going to turn it over now to David Jervis and Bobby Gentry, who will be reading those questions on behalf of the audience. The question was, how would the candidate react to the budget crisis in Springfield? The second part, what specific cuts would he make?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Illinois is in a very bleak situation. We have a $13 billion deficit, and we have to open up the budget to the public. We have to go through the budget line item by line item. And if you take a look at the General Assembly last spring, they had the opportunity to do that. One House resolution came to a vote where the House and the General Assembly would have the opportunity to go through this budget, to look at all the waste, the fraud, the abuse that's in the system. Unfortunately, the House Democrats did not allow this to the floor for a vote. I believe that's the first step. You have to open up the budget, be as transparent, be as accountable as possible. Beyond that, speaking specifically about programs, I would cut welfare to illegal immigrants, which costs us currently $55 million a year alone. Beyond that, illegal immigrants are receiving in-state tuition here in Illinois. I believe that needs chopped immediately. Also, you look at other waste in the welfare system. I believe drug testing for welfare recipients would be useful. I also believe that photo identification should be shown for those using a link card. The waste, the fraud, the abuse in the system must be addressed, especially when we have a $13 billion deficit. I mean, the time for change is now, and we must address these budgetary issues.
And your response?
Thank you. I guess what I would really expect my opponent to be doing is probably just vote no, just like he did on the city budget, and let everybody else carry the water. But with regard to how to solve our budget woes, I think the most important thing that we can do is get people back to work, get these revenues coming back. Our state has lost billions of dollars in revenues over the last several years because of the economy and the downturn in the economy. And over the last couple of years, the legislature has reduced the size of the budget 2 years in a row for the first time since the 1930s. And last year, the legislature, or I should say during this fiscal year, the legislature reduced spending by $2.5 billion. And another $1.5 billion was cut by the governor's mandatory veto. So we have taken action, but obviously we need to go much farther. I believe we need a line-by-line review of the budget to ensure that we can reduce expenditures where possible. And I've actually demanded that the Department of Health Care and Family Services conduct an audit in which, or actually respond to an audit in which it was found that there were some over expenditures due to children who were not eligible for the program. And we need to make sure that those expenditures are not occurring again, that only our residents are receiving these expenditures or these services. And lastly, the legislature did last year pass a House Bill 5242, which is a payment recapture audit, Republican sponsor. I voted for it. It's a good bill. To recapture payments that were made in error as a result of fraud and abuse. I've met with the Attorney General's office to talk about ways to recover fraud and abuse. And one final thing I think we need to do is talk a little bit about my opponents, and I'll respond to some of these other charges he made earlier, but it's always informational when somebody, makes criticisms but doesn't really talk about what they're going to be able to do. But The reality is that my opponent accuses me of voting for a huge tax increase. Well, fact of the matter is House Joint Resolution 42, House HJRCA 42, would have been a constitutional amendment. This amendment would have been put on the ballot and would have allowed voters to decide whether or not we should change our tax system. It's a straight 3% across the board tax system. And what it would have done, it would have impacted only those earning over $250,000 a year, the wealthiest members of our society. But for the 95% of the remaining citizens, would have resulted in actually a tax cut. So my opponent, by criticizing me for voting for a tax increase, which is not true because it would have put the question on the ballot for voters to decide, much like the sales tax referendum that we're facing here in Macon County. So let's talk about the truth, Adam. We need to make sure we're talking about the truth here. My opponent is opposing the single biggest tax reduction in the history of the state of Illinois by criticizing me for voting for House HJRCA Constitutional Amendment 42.
Do you have a short rebuttal for this one?
I would say you need to take a look at those S corporations that file with the state of Illinois. That would be a huge tax increase, a huge burden on these small business owners. And now more than ever, we need to incentivize small business to create jobs right here in Central Illinois.
This next question comes from Michelle Patrick, who's a senior Milliken student. How do you plan to continue funding for the MAP grant when there is barely enough money to fund the state's general expenses?
The question, if you couldn't hear it, was how would you fund the MAP grant given the state's budget deficit? The answer to Representative Fleiter.
We, during the past year, actually did pass legislation giving the governor the authority to ensure that MAP grant funding could continue. And it is a challenge during these difficult economic times, but the legislation that we passed provided the authority for the governor to continue the MAP grant program. And MAP grant funding is extremely critical for institutions like Milliken, like Richland Community College, and other colleges throughout the state of Illinois. And it comes down to a question of how do we free up the dollars to ensure that they can be used for students who can't, so they can attend college. Getting a college education is one of the most important goals, I think, that we can have for our youth, those who want to go on. And I certainly want to do what I can to try and free up the dollars available deal with the challenges that we face in education and MAP grant funding.
Mr. Brown.
Well, a MAP grant was supported in the General Assembly last session by the Republicans. Unfortunately, it met a short end when it faced the Democrats. I feel like we need to reestablish our priorities. I think education is definitely a top priority here in Central Illinois. You take a look at Decatur District 61, for instance, owed $6 million by the state of Illinois. Or if you want to take a look at higher education, you take a look at Richland Community College, owed $1 million by the state of Illinois right now. These institutions provide for an education that will provide us for a better workforce in the future. So priorities just have to be realigned here. You take a look at our payouts to illegal immigrants, at the same time that we can't afford to pay for public education. It's just simply outrageous.
Okay, now speak into the microphone. I won't scream this time. Is it possible to be in Illinois politics and not be beholden to Chicago?
I'm fighting and I'm working as hard as I possibly can to be your voice over in Springfield. I spoke of that deal at Tate and Lyle that occurred yesterday, a $15 million incentive package to move a Decatur company in part up to Chicago, Hoffman Estates. It's truly unreal and well beyond me that the state of Illinois is subsidizing a $15 million project not to bring a company to Illinois, but to move it somewhere else in Illinois at the expense of downstate voters. Simply put, we have to get our voice back. We have to vote November 2nd and finally turn this state around.
I think it's shameful to politicize the community leaders working to keep jobs and a company in Illinois. I think it's shameful to politicize that. I think it shows the immaturity of Adam Brown. The fact of the matter is that when Tate and Lyle announced that they could possibly move their corporate headquarters away from Decatur, it wasn't just another city in Decatur that was an option. There was Nashville was an option, Indianapolis was an option, and when that happens, I guess the question is, and I certainly was not, in the position of making the decision at Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity as to whether Tate and Lyle qualified for a $15 million grant. But the fact of the matter is, a grant, tax credits were authorized because a company could move out of Illinois. And if there was a silver lining here, and I think the newspaper, I think they reported it very well this morning, they indicated it could have been worse. And when Tate and Lyle first approached the state and city leaders, they said it could have been a lot worse. And what happened was there were jobs that were, number one, kept in Illinois. I would prefer they were in Decatur. I'm as disappointed as anybody that those jobs are not kept in Decatur. But there still will be 500 plus employees here in Decatur, and I want to do, and I'm assured by the company, and I talked to the company, I met with the community leaders, I was in the meetings with the mayor, the economic development executive director, commission executive director, Representative Mitchell was sitting in the front row, was in this meeting. We had others throughout the community, the publisher of Herald and Review was in that meeting, Chamber of Commerce was in that meeting. You know, we talked about an approach to do what we could to keep Tate and Lyle in Decatur. Adam Brown was not at that meeting. But now to sit here and criticize that is shameful.
Next question. This question's from Bobby. What is your view on conceal and carry with weapons, and what do you plan to do for or against citizens' rights to carry?
I've been endorsed by both the Illinois State Rifle Association and the National Rifle Association. I just want to say that from the get-go. And I have been a co-sponsor of legislation to create concealed carry legislation. And the rationale behind it, and Illinois is one of only a couple states that does not have it, the rationale is that a person who might be carrying a weapon might actually be in a safer position to deal with somebody who might want to hold them up or might want to commit a crime. So I have supported it, and now what you're going to hear from my opponent is that, however, Bob Flyder, because you voted for the Mike Madigan for Speaker of the House, how can you really be for concealed carry legislation? Well, ask the NRA why they support me, and ask the State Rifle Association why they support me. And I can guarantee you, if we have 71 votes in the House of Representatives to overrule home rule powers in the city of Chicago, we'll be able to get that done. But, it's not just Democrats who oppose concealed carry legislation. It's not just Democrats who oppose legislation that supports Second Amendment rights. There's also Republicans who oppose those rights. And so, let's just look at things fairly and squarely. There are people on both sides of the aisle who oppose those things. Let's not forget that. But I support Second Amendment, and that's why I'm endorsed. And not just because I say so, but because I have a track record to prove it.
I fully support concealed carry and the Second Amendment rights of individuals here in Illinois. Unfortunately, you take a look at Speaker Mike Madigan, as was mentioned earlier. Speaker Mike Madigan will not call the concealed carry bill. I believe we have the votes to push that through after the November elections. I believe we have the opportunity to flex our muscles and the opportunity to have a concealed carry in this state. Unfortunately, we have to get Mike Madigan out of the speaker's chair first. And that task is left up to you today.
Yes, you may.
So I do want to sort of clarify that the sponsor of concealed carry legislation has had the opportunity to call that bill. He just hasn't had the votes to do it. And oftentimes, people who sponsor legislation who don't have the votes don't call that bill. But it has been allowed to be called for a vote.
You both oppose raising the Illinois income tax. How do you close the deficit and provide essential state services without new revenues?
Mr. Brown.
Well, as noted earlier, I fully support a line-by-line audit of the state's budget. I think there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse in the system that is flying under the radar right now, unfortunately. Last spring, as I mentioned, it was brought to the General Assembly. And Mike Madigan isn't a big supporter of this bill because there's a lot of corruption in the state of Illinois. And finally, a line-by-line audit might expose some of that corruption, some of that waste, and some of those honey deals that are here in Illinois. I feel like that's the first step to getting the state's budget back online. I also believe there's a lot of waste in the welfare system, and I believe the welfare system is cannibalizing our assets that should be going towards higher education.
Yes, one of the bills that I sponsored this year, I think, was one of the most significant in the history of the state of Illinois, yet it often goes unreported and is actually was opposed by my opponent, which I'm still shaking my head. I can't understand why. But the legislature passed this year significant pension reforms. Now, not everybody in state government saw it my way, but what this legislation will do is it will save billions of your taxpayer dollars in the future by restructuring and reestablishing the rules by which new entrants into the state's pension system will be covered by the pension. So, for example, right now, a person who started at an early age in the state's pension system can retire in their 50s and receive a 70%+ of their salary and get an automatic 3% increase every year, forever, as long as they live. I don't know how we can continue to afford a system like that. I was shocked when I took office in 2003 how poorly funded the state's pension systems were. You go back to Jim Thompson's days when he was governor. When they didn't have the money to, when they wanted to talk about balancing a budget, they just simply skip pension payments. Well, that credit card debt has come home to roost, and now the pension costs that the state faces are much higher because of that credit card debt that exists. So we're paying the state taxpayers, you and I, are paying billions of dollars a year to pay for the sins of the past. So these reforms not only will modernize our system, but also, when you look at the final outcome, will save $250 billion in future pension liabilities. That's $250 billion over the next 35 years. That's significant. Now, I voted for that. I thought that it was the right thing to do for the state of Illinois to save money. We need to find reforms like that to save money, to tighten our belt. I've lost the support of the teachers' unions over that. Certainly don't have the support of the AFSCME and other state unions, but you know what? Every now and then you have to take a vote that you think is right.
Do you have a response?
If I may, Ms. Moderator, I believe the underlying problem with these pensions are the pension fund raids, multiple, two or three over just the past 8 years that my opponent has supported. In one in particular, $3.5 billion was borrowed from the pension system, and that debt has spiraled into a $38 billion hole in the pension system. So fundamental reform to the pension system isn't going to cut it. You've got to stop spending like you have the money, because we don't.
Next question. This is a follow-up question. Can you please explain what an S corporation is that you referred to? This is a follow-up for both candidates?
For both candidates, yes.
Okay.
An S corporation is a type of small business that files under state code as an S corporation, obviously. There are a number of different entities that you could file as. Could be a partnership, could be a sole proprietorship, could be a S corporation in this case. These small businesses would be hounded by these income tax increases.
Next question.
Should state funding of public education be cut? And if so, should local school districts be expected to increase local property taxes to make up for the reduced state funding?
Go to Representative Flater.
Since I have been in the state legislature, education funding has been perhaps, well, has been the top priority of many, and including myself. Through the first several years of my incumbency, the state legislature has been able to increase funding for education each year, and also created the early childhood education programs, which I think are significant and very important. Now, I'm going to go back in time, back when I was a newspaper reporter around 1980 and 1981, the topic of raising income taxes to support education and creating more of an appropriations method for education, and a like reduction in property taxes to compensate for that increase in income tax has been discussed. It was discussed by Senator, then Representative Harry Babe Woodyard, who took the place of then Representative Jim Edgar, who was promoted to the governor's liaison position by Jim Thompson. I remember him saying, we're going to, you know, work on that reform. We're going to work on that education funding reform. And you know what? It's never going to happen. And we need to get off that bandwagon and move to another approach of funding education. You know, one where I think from a downstate standpoint, we just need to make sure that we are getting equitable funding for downstate schools comparable to what Chicago and the suburbs are getting. The fact of the matter is that an income tax increase is not a good idea. And it would be quickly offset by increases in property. Any offset in or reduction in property taxes would quickly probably evaporate. And I just think that's a wrong approach.
The question again regarding education funding.
I don't believe cuts to education need to take place at this time. I believe, unfortunately, through the wasteful spending of Illinois state government, we've already seen drastic cuts, especially to higher education. Currently, throughout the state of Illinois, higher education is owed $600 million. That's over a third of its budget that it's afforded in the first place. The state has to become current with its payments, and I believe focusing on priorities is a starting place.
Professor Gentry?
This is a question to both candidates. Why do you condone such negative campaign tactics? The daily brochures that arrive in the mail only state negative things about the other candidate instead of telling us what you will do for us.
Adam Brown, negative campaigning?
I have focused solely on the issues in this campaign. Every footnote in every one of my mailers says exactly which bill I'm referring to. It says exactly what the state of Illinois has done to waste our money, and it is focused on the sad, grim facts that the state of Illinois needs a change, and we need it today.
Well, I know Adam began with a litany of criticisms of me. I do think it's calling the kettle black, to be quite candid with you. I just exposed one of his what I'll call deceptions. Sure, he refers to the House Constitutional Amendment 42, calls it a tax on working class families and businesses. Quite frankly, it's not. It's a tax cut for 95% of the citizens, working class citizens. So I'm not sure who you're wanting to represent, but it's certainly not, you know, middle class citizens of the state of Illinois. But you send out these flyers, you run these TV ads, Bob Flyter voted for a tax increase. Come on. You like to criticize me for, and I know this is on the topic of negative advertising, but I'm just trying to respond a little bit to some of the charges. And now you'll begin to really understand why we have to do this, because we do have to set the record straight. For months, Bob Flyter takes money from Chicago Speaker Mike Madigan. Well, fact of the matter is, part of the money that's contributed to my campaign is actually from the Illinois Democratic Party. And so now talk about hypocrisy. It's just reported in the newspaper, I believe it was yesterday, of the $500,000 that Adam Brown received from sources, including the Illinois Republican Party. Note that his mailers come from Carroll Stream and other suburbs of Chicago. So, you know, you can't say to one person, you can't take party money, but it's okay for me to do that. And so, you know, let's put that on the table. But somehow, you know, we want to demonize the Democrat Party. And, you know, that's unfortunate that you've chosen to go down that path. And I think lastly, you know, thing I need to point out with regard to illegal immigration, the big press conference that they had, you know, the big issue of illegal immigration, you know, that Bob Flyter supports illegal immigrants. Let me tell you something I support that Adam Brown doesn't support. I support making sure that every citizen is, that we can ensure that they are a legal citizen. I support legislation that would require, that would penalize businesses for hiring illegal immigrants. Now they criticize me, thank you, I don't hear that from him, but they criticize me for voting against E-Verify legislation. Well, the E-Verify legislation, there was two components of it. One, the first year, it was actually opposed by the Illinois Chamber of Commerce because ordinary citizens were getting rejected in the system, including a member of our staff who decided to submit his name. He said, oh, I'm a legal immigrant. So that system was broke. I wasn't going to vote for a broken system. But then secondly, you know, what they're criticizing me for is not voting for E-Verify that is not mandatory. That is, you know, that a business can decide whether or not they want to use the E-Verify system. Well, what good is that? Do you think that a company that wants to hire illegal immigrants is actually going to use the E-Verify system? Heck no, they're not going to do that. I think you're protecting these companies, and you really shouldn't do that. And you're criticizing me, you've exposed yourself as protecting these companies who hire illegal immigrants.
You have an opportunity for a rebuttal.
Well, personally, I haven't voted for $55 million a year to go to illegal immigrants for their health insurance. I think we can leave it at that.
The next question from Professor Jervis.
A question from a small business owner asking what you will do to support and strengthen small business.
Representative Flyter.
Well, I think that we can not pass a tax increase for starters. I think that we can ensure that the state is paying its bills on time. And I have proposed ensuring, I have passed legislation that would require the state to pay its bills on time. And I think lastly, I have sponsored and co-sponsored legislation, and will continue to do that, to provide businesses with tax credits or tax benefits that ensure that Illinois is a business-friendly state. And this is at the request of businesses, and I have not only supported this legislation, but also have helped pass it, have helped go to leadership in my party and say how important this legislation is. And lastly, I think that, you know, we need to make sure that the state is not only paying its bills on time, but also that we have an environment conducive to bringing business here. There's no question that through the Rod Blagojevich era, you know, Illinois scared businesses away. And even with the tax increase proposal that the current governor is proposing, I think that businesses are looking at Illinois and saying, you know, we're not sure. So we need to eliminate the uncertainty. We need to do what we can to tighten our belt, reduce costs, pay our bills, find areas where the state is overspending, cut out waste, and again, just like I mentioned, Adam Brown likes to bring up this $55 million expenditure for illegal immigrants. Quite frankly, I'm not sure that's a number that has been quantified, but the fact of the matter is, if Illinois citizens are getting health care that they are not entitled to receive, as I've said, I sponsor a resolution to make sure that we can expose that and identify those costs, make sure it doesn't happen again, and identify who's responsible and make sure that they're no longer in charge.
On the issue of small business.
I've been endorsed by the National Federation of Independent Business, which is the voice of small business here in Illinois. And I believe the way to incentivize and grow business is through a more comfortable jobs climate. One that I would model more after Indiana. Right here, I think we need workers' compensation reform. I think we need lawsuit abuse reform. And I think we need tax credits for businesses of all sizes that want to grow an employee base here in Illinois.
Next question.
If you're elected, who will you vote for as Speaker of the House?
Mr. Brown.
I will likely vote for Leader Tom Cross as Speaker of the House, not Michael Madigan.
Well, I have stated on numerous occasions that who I vote for Speaker of the House will be who I believe is the best candidate for Speaker of the House. It's hard to say who you're going to vote for Speaker of the House when you don't know who's running. So my focus will be, regardless of who the Speaker of the House is, that I will work for the people of Central Illinois, and will continue to work for the people of Central Illinois. And you know, you can laugh, but you know, quite frankly, I'm going to do what's best for the people of the state of Illinois, just as I always have.
What can you do to help make the district and the state more environmentally friendly?
Representative.
The legislature, well, there's a couple things. I want to talk specifically about a project in Taylorville called the Tenaska Power Plant. And while the goal of this power plant is to ensure that Illinois can produce electricity using Illinois coal, we have an abundance of BTUs in the ground with regard to Illinois coal, and if we can demonstrate that we can use it cleanly and efficiently, then the sky's the limit with regard to Illinois coal. We can put coal miners back to work, and you know, our economy will be aided immensely. So we need to make sure that Illinois coal can be used cleanly and efficiently. In fact, we even have a demonstration project here in Decatur where CO2 is being emitted into the ground. And the fact of the matter is that if that can be demonstrated to be successful, you know, other ethanol plants could possibly be sited here as well. And with regard to specific environmental improvements, back in 2007, I was the co-sponsor of reform legislation that ensured that electric generation in Illinois would phase in the use of renewable resources over time. So now, for example, there's considerable use of coal. There's also nuclear. But what this legislation will do is ensure that more wind power and solar power will be factored into the equation, that utilities would be required to purchase that. I just want to say for the record that if anybody is thinking that I would have ever supported the Obama cap and trade proposal, you're wrong. I would have opposed that. I would have voted against it.
On the question of the environment.
I believe we can become more environmentally friendly in Illinois. I think in doing so, we can also create jobs. As was mentioned, Tenaska project, a clean coal project. Also, a lot of windmills are starting to pop up in Central Illinois. I think that's a good job creator as well. So hand in hand, we can be more environmentally friendly and start to address some of our job creation concerns.
This question is about campaign contributions. Would you support a bill to ban campaign contributions to state and local elected officials or candidates from companies doing business with the state or from local government?
Mr. Brown?
I would. And I also believe that campaign finance reform should be a major issue for the next General Assembly here in Illinois. I believe that campaign financing in the future should come from within the district, from folks that truly have the interest of their district in their heart.
Legislature, I voted twice to impeach Rod Blagojevich because of pay-to-play politics. Shortly thereafter, the legislature passed legislation to limit contributions that could be made or could be received by elected officials constitutional officials who determine where contracts can go. I recently have proposed legislation at the local level to provide for the same kind of pay-to-play reform. In fact, the matter is that at the state level, when a constitutional officer is authorizing a contract, there should be pay-to-play limits. That's how Rod Blagojevich and others before him found themselves in such hot water with the taxpayers and the voters. That's how they found themselves in ethical quandaries. And I think we need that at the state level or at the local level as well.
Professor Jervis?
Okay. I have a question that I'll paraphrase a bit, asking you each to respond to some of the claims that critics of your candidacy might make. Mr. Brown, the questioner actually asked, you know, that you're young, you're inexperienced, what makes you think you can do the job? Representative Flyder, you're older, you're perhaps entrenched. What makes you think you should continue to do the job?
On the issue of experience?
Well, I don't find myself entrenched. I don't intend to be a career politician, like a lot of people I know. I served my community for 4 years as a trustee, and I was a mayor for 8 years. And when I was a mayor, I established goals. I brought the community in. When I went door to door and talked to people, said, here's what I want to do. I want to make my community a better place. I followed through on those goals. We established a community plan. We did some incredible things in Mount Zion using the expertise of businesses, people who are in the community, residents of the community, and so on. I followed through on the things I did. I didn't run for election and next year say, oh, I don't want that anymore. I want to do something else. I fulfilled my commitments. And work ethic is not just knocking on doors. You know, quite frankly, most people don't have the time to devote to knocking on doors 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. Most people have to work for a living. But I could tell you, when my days of running for village board and mayor, you know, I spent a lot of nights and weekends knocking on doors because I had to work during the day. But what the commitments I made, I kept. The goals I established, we met. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of that experience. Not only, in addition to that, the life experience. You know, I often get criticized by my opponent for voting for the All Kids program, but I don't think my opponent has ever known what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night with a sick child, not knowing whether or not you can go to a doctor or afford to go to a doctor because, quite frankly, you may not have the resources or you're not insured. So I wouldn't ever want any parent to have to face that kind of a situation for their child. So his solution, vote against All Kids. I shouldn't have voted for it. Bad program. My solution, let's fix what's wrong. That's the example. Experience versus, you know, somebody who really doesn't have a track record who just has to run on criticizing somebody else.
Well, Representative Flyder, I'm a fifth-generation family farmer, and I work with my hands day in, day out. I love my heritage. I'm quite proud of my family's farm, what we built, what we've invested in this community. And to see you ship jobs up to Chicagoland area with a $15 million stipend attached is completely atrocious. And it's a mockery to say that I don't work hard, that I don't love this community, and that I don't do everything to turn this state around.
Could you please repeat that?
Speaking to the question specifically, the city of Decatur is owed $3 million by the state of Illinois. District 61, $6 million. Macon Resources, $3 million for developmentally disabled right here in central Illinois. That's enough motivation for me to get out and work as hard as I can to turn around the state of Illinois. That $13 billion deficit that has been created over the past 8 years. And as you sit here and run for your fifth term in the General Assembly, it's hard to take you seriously when you say you're not a career politician.
Do you have a response?
Yes. I'm not a career politician, you know. I just happen to work hard. This is my full-time job. I wish I could be like some of the other House members who are farmers, are lawyers, who have other income. I can't. I don't have the time. This is a 70-hour a week, 70-hour a week job for me. It's what I do, 7 days a week. I don't have that supplemental income, and it's what I do. And I certainly am not intended to be a career politician. If you think that the economic benefits are so wonderful, well, then, you know, maybe they are for some career politicians, but I'm not a career politician. But with regard to solving the problems of the state of Illinois, let me just give you another example. We like to talk about Chicago and, you know, how awful I am for, supporting whatever he wants to, you know, criticize me for. But fact of the matter is, Governor of Illinois proposed cutting revenues for cities and counties by 30%, billions of dollars, during this current budget cycle this past spring. And I thought that was wrong. Now, I'm a Democrat, and he's a Democrat. But I thought that was wrong. So what I do in my job is I work with local officials. I work with local mayors. I work with local county board chairs and members. And I asked them to join me in fighting that. And I went, I had a meeting. I asked for the mayors of and city council members from throughout my district to have a meeting with me so we could talk about ways that we could reach out to others and fight this proposal. This would have cost the city of Decatur $2 million. I went to the Decatur City Council, and I invited every city council member, including the mayor and the city manager, to a meeting. I think Adam Brown must have had something better to do that day. But we talked about that, and we united, and we said we're going to oppose the governor's tax or revenue cut for Decatur and other local communities. It would have been a cut to the local distributive fund. Well, that's what I do. I work with people to get the job done, and you know, quite frankly, that's an example of fighting for the communities that I represent.
We're going to go to...
So, by the way.
We're going to go to the next question.
This is actually going to be the last question due to time, and we wanted to thank you again from the Political Science Department. And we'd like to make the questions available. There are lots of questions we couldn't get to, but we're going to make those questions available to the candidates as well. So, last question. Based on an increased patient load to our physicians from healthcare reform, what is your opinion on tort reform? This question's from Andrew.
I believe the question was on tort reform?
Yes.
Representative.
When the question was put before the Illinois General Assembly, I voted for tort reform. I voted to cap punitive damages.
I support tort reform. I think it's much needed reform here in Illinois, and I think it will also improve our business climate in Illinois.
And as mentioned, the remainder of the questions will be submitted to the candidates. We're going to go now to the closing statements from each candidate. Mr. Brown will give his closing first.
Once again, I'd like to thank Millikan University as well as all of you folks for coming out this evening. Our state is facing very serious problems right now. Illinois has a $13 billion deficit, $130 billion of debt, double-digit unemployment, and what it takes is new leadership to turn our state around. We can't trust the same old politicians who got us into this mess to clean it up. We need a clean break from the politics of the past. We need new leaders who will step up to the plate and stop overtaxing, overspending, and over-borrowing from the Chicago machine. I have a plan to get Illinois back on track, and it starts with these five goals. I believe we need to cut spending, produce a real balanced budget, and conduct a line-by-line audit of state expenditures. Get Illinois back to work with incentives that reward employers for creating and keeping good-paying jobs. Three, no tax increases for Illinois working families and seniors. Fourthly, pass reforms to end pay-to-play corruption in Illinois. And fifthly, I believe the legislature needs a 10% pay cut. My opponent, he's been in Springfield for 8 years. After 8 years in office, Bob Flyter now says he's going to fix what's wrong with Springfield. No, Bob, you are what's wrong with Springfield. Bob Flyter repeatedly voted for unbalanced budgets that increased state spending by $8 billion. He voted to borrow $18 billion of new debt, increasing Illinois' long-term load to record levels that haven't been seen in generations. Under Flyter and Quinn, Illinois has lost nearly 250,000 jobs. More than 8,400 local families are out of work. $8 billion in new spending, $18 billion of new debt, 8,400 local families out of work, 8 years in Springfield. I believe 8 years is enough for you, Bob. And the question I'll pose to Central Illinois families tonight, are we better off than we were 8 years ago? I believe the resounding answer is no. And if you believe we need to make a change in Springfield, I pray that you'll get out and vote for me on November 2nd. Thank you.
want to thank Milliken again for hosting this event, and you know, my opponent comes out swinging, and that's often what happens when you can't point to a track record of accomplishment. One of the things he came out swinging on today was Bob Flider took $7,500 in contributions from Rada Blagojevich. Well, let me tell you what happened in 2006. Bob Flider sent that money to charity, and Adam knows this, but he came out with his ad anyway. I sent contributions to the Growing Strong Sexual Assault Center, Illinois Wings, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Macon County Honor Guard, and Project Success and the Decatur Family YMCA Strong Kids Campaign, all local charities or state charities, because I knew that that was wrong to take that money. Now, I could sit here and point fingers at who my opponent has taken funding from Springfield, and quite frankly, on the very day he came out on his anti-illegal immigration crusade, he accepted a $2,000 contribution from an organization that has a policy of wanting to hire illegal immigrants, making sure that they can get those illegal immigrants into citizenship status so that they can continue to, you know, hire them at a very low cost. So, you know, let's not pull the wool over people's eyes. You know, you want to, you know, criticize me. Well, you know, let's not call the kettle black. Don't criticize me for voting for a tax increase when that very proposal would actually save 95% of the state's taxpayers in their tax bill. It would actually reduce taxes for 95% of the taxpayers of the state of Illinois. Don't criticize me for that. You know, I feel like, you know, not only is it an insult to say that, to mislead people, fact of the matter is, you know, that would have put democracy in the hands of the voters. The voters themselves would have decided that. That was a constitutional amendment. On the tax increase question that was put forth by not only Rada Blagojevich, but also Pat Quinn, I have an ironclad no vote against those tax increases. No questions about it, black and white. It's all there. So we can mislead all we want. This is a question of what are you willing to do to get elected? What are you willing to do to get elected to the state house, to be a state representative? And I will just tell you this, that, you know, the bannering back and forth, you know, tonight I was hoping we'd have a nice constructive debate. You know, we obviously have to, I have to respond to some of these things that my opponent has said, but let me just say this, that people of this district, you know, during a campaign, I feel like I've worked hard, and people know me. As I go door to door, they know who I am. They know how hard I've worked. They know how I've worked to try and reduce their expenses at home. They know how hard my office works to try and provide good services. They know how hard we work to reduce costs for businesses. They know how hard we work to pass legislation that helps everyday people. They know that. They can't be fooled by that. But during a campaign, you know, somebody tries to turn you into somebody else. You know, my colleague Bill Mitchell and I sitting here, and Representative Ron Stevens, welcome from the other part of the Senate district. It's nice to see you here. We've worked together on legislation, and you know, there's a big ad that's being played right now. Bob Flider supported Rada Blagojevich or Mike Madigan X percent of the time. I haven't seen the ad. I haven't seen it. I've just been told about it. But you know, fact of the matter is that there is cooperation that goes on, and it's really unfortunate that there isn't more cooperation that goes on. And it's really unfortunate that the people of Central Illinois and the people of Illinois don't get more cooperation from their representatives, that people are not working across the aisle for putting the party politics aside and saying, we're going to do what's right for the citizens of Decatur. That's the background I came from. When I was mayor in Mount Zion, we didn't have this party politics. We didn't have this petty stuff. We didn't have to deal with all this. You know, you put a budget out there, if you were going to cut it, you were going to, you know, increase funding for the police or decrease funding for services or put off a project so you could afford to pay for it the next year. You know, you did what was right. You worked together. Then you put your differences aside and you moved on. But you did what was right. That's not happening. That's not happening in the state of Illinois. It's shameful, it's wrong, and it's time that we got back to that. I want to thank you again for being here today. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, each and every day that I wake up and start another day, how blessed I feel about the opportunity to serve you as your state representative. I would like to go back. I would like to go back and fix this state's problems. I want to be a person who can go in there. I have some great ideas. I have some ideas on a performance-based budget. Rather than looking at last year's budget and saying how much we can add to it or subtract from it, let's look at the amount of money that we have and say, what are our priorities? Let's do the tough work, the hard work of making sure that we are funding our priorities, like education, like mental health funding, like making sure that we have strong law enforcement, making sure we keep people in prison, and you know where they belong. And I've been a strong sponsor of legislation to ensure that you know, we are keeping our streets safer and making sure that sex offenders are getting lifetime supervision, making sure they're not walking the streets. But when there's improvements that we need, you know, I want to work not just with Democrats, but I want to work with Republicans. I want to work with you. Thank you, and God bless you all.
On behalf of Millikan University and the Political Science Department, David Jervis and Bobby Gentry, we'd like to thank the two candidates for coming to this debate this evening. We'd also like to thank the public for being involved and submitting questions. And that concludes this debate for this evening.